This is John Bruton. You're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hernando Diablo.
Through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hernando Diablo.
And this week, my notes say we're talking about Bruce Springsteen? I can't be right. No. No.
I thought it was supposed to be shitty bosses.
Oh. Well, that's still... All right. No.
Are you... Whoa. If we have to fucking back up here, are you saying the boss is shitty?
Joining us on the podcast this week is comedian Matt Celeste. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So, Matt, why do you hate management?
why do you hate MGMT? Is it kids? Is it, what's that other song they had?
I just don't think it's cool to talk about doing heroin in Paris.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's that song called? I almost called it Time to Paradise.
I call it the Spider-Man trailer song now. So fair. Irrelevant.
Oh, it's in that, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And there was another big movie, though, that it came out. Well, like when that song came out, it was like the song for that movie, and I can't remember. It's like
Ocean's 14.
You know what I can compare that song to, and like be it being in movies, is like the Verve Bittersweet Symphony with Cruel Intentions. Like,
man.
I hope the Spider-Man movie's good. I think it's gonna be good, but that song. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's a catchy song, but it's I'm done with it.
No, that kind of was a bummer when they played it over the trailer for me because yeah. Spider-Man's my favorite. But
management.
I love Bruce Springsteen.
If you can't tell, me and Matt have been friends for a really long time.
I don't hate management per se. I mean, it is a necessary evil, obviously. I'm not like an anarchist or anything.
Except he's wearing a Degeneration X shirt.
Hell yeah, break that the walls down.
That doesn't mean anarchy.
That means
in 1997, that's all it meant to be.
That's scripted, controlled anarchy. For professional wrestling.
The reason I really hate bad bosses, because unless you have like the best job ever, unless your job is like taste testing weed or something, you know, it sucks to be there. And yeah. No one wants to go to work ever. At least I don't. Maybe some people have work ethic. I don't. But so if you are a shitty boss on top of that, like that kind of to me means you're a shitty person and I don't want to help you make money.
Okay.
Right.
That's fair. What makes somebody a shitty boss?
I think, that's a very good question. I would say a shitty boss is someone, number one, who would ask you to do things that they would never do themselves.
Okay.
Depending, you know, I mean, you do work yourself up to a point where you shouldn't have to take care of some bullshit.
Agreed. You shouldn't have to mop the floor at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Know? But, you know, I think that's a big part of it. I think not giving a shit at all about how people feel about their jobs and just being like, this is the way it is because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one
way
for me to lose respect for you. I'm the boss and I said so will make me go on Craigslist that day and look for something else.
Right. I mean, I get that. And I can't really turn that around because, I mean, you and me have both had how many fucking jobs?
Oh, man.
And I mean, but like, no, I think the mark of a shitty boss, like one thing that really sticks out in my mind is like people who, like you said, like they don't care. It's like what they say goes. And it's like, I understand that. Like you are put in that position and for a reason because you, I guess the higher management may see you as a, you know, like, oh, he can deal with people, but he can also lay down the law if he needs to. And it's like, I've dealt with a lot of people that have one of those skills, you know, not both of those skills.
Yeah.
So basically, do you think it's more of a management style that this is how it is and I'm not going to explain it? Do you think if someone was in that position and they were able to explain why the way things are, you would respond better to that?
I think just the willingness to explain it or be open to it. You know, and this is going to sound maybe stupid, but like I have a basic problem with authority as it is.
Okay.
You know, yeah, my mom dated like 45 different guys growing up, and they all tried to tell me what to do all the time.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, it's Freudian as hell. Like,
oh, yeah.
I just, and it carried over to work. And my first job I ever had at Penn State, at a sub place that makes great places.
Penn Station's fine as fuck. They're a corporation.
I don't know the rules.
Oh, no, no. the podcasting is the Wild West. You can say what you want.
Okay.
But as far as like
us personally, we don't want to affect,
we don't affect that shit.
That's what I thought.
So yeah, Penn Station, fuck them.
That's my first job ever, and I had this super, super homophobic, in-the-closet gay guy who was my boss.
Mike, you worked for Mike Pence.
Yeah, dude. He slang subs. And
in more ways than one.
my first day there, he was asking me like what I did, and I was in like 11th grade and I played tennis, mm-hmm. and he was like, that's the gayest shit I ever heard. And I was like, oh man. And like I just never went back.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Has he never seen John McEnroe?
That's what I'm saying, dog.
And Matt's been woke for years.
Yeah. Oh.
Somebody,
so woke.
Somebody at the improv once told me that I look like Jimmy Connor's son.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good
compliment. They were trying to get me to see Screech. And that was their way of buttering me up.
It was oddly enough, you're going to see Screech next month.
Yeah, yeah. Ricky's doing a show with Screech at the Rialto. Info is on the Win to Lose Facebook page. So, how many of your bosses made your mom come?
Too many to count.
How many jobs did you get because your mom was getting orgasms? Or given?
How many I got fired from.
Sorry, I got to leave. I got to go beat the shit out of this dude.
Dude, Adele's going to be pissed. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, well, like you, I've had a ton of jobs. And more often than not, I've had bad managers. And the job I have right now is the first place, I'm almost 30, it's the first place I've ever stayed over a year.
Oh.
And it's because me and my manager get along fairly well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not great, fairly not, well.
I mean, like, we're both kind of moody.
No, I know him, he's a nice dude. I mean, it's like, it's easy to piss him off, but it's also, like, easy to be his friend.
He comes from a place of also hating authority. And
like,
he doesn't
want to
be the
rocker.
Guy.
Yeah,
oh,
just like the three of us.
Yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be that guy who, okay. you know...
But he also has a job. And that's the thing is, I do see both sides of it.
As I get older, I'm way more patient with things that I thought were quittable offenses.
Exactly. Because, like, you'll sit there and you'll be like, especially, like, you and me, who we both got our shit together, like, really within the last year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I guess a little longer than that, but for the better sakes of words, a year. But, like, when I see it now where I'm like, okay, well, there's reasons for these things because... And I won't say everybody. I'll say growing up, you learn these things. Some people take a little longer to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
You and me would definitely be on that boat where it's like,
big time.
It's not just all about
and
us.
We also we have to learn it the hardest way possible.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. because we won't learn it because it's like, oh, no, it's about me. And why am I getting fucked over? It's like, well, you're not really getting fucked over.
No.
Sometimes you are.
And life isn't fair. And like, it's something you have to, you know, get accustomed to as you get older. So that's helped me with shitty managers, but. I still have it and be like, fuck it, later.
Oh,
you know?
Dude. Oh, sometimes in my job, I just like, and I'm good at it, you know, but like sometimes there's certain things where I'm just like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. I just want to get up and walk the fuck out.
Yeah. And well, you have a really mentally exhausting job, too.
I mean,
in my opinion.
You know, no, it is. It is. But it's just like at the same time, like, it's not what I'm going to do forever. You know?
No.
So it's like, right now, I'm just like, I'm honing skills that I always knew I had, but I was too lazy to fucking...
Man, so many things I learned at that job have carried over.
So for the record, me and Matt have worked for the same... We've actually probably worked for more than one same company. But
yeah,
I mean, like, one
printing.
That we both know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, so...
G-bosses.
Oh, no, I'll talk shit on Jack Prince all day. Yeah. I don't care. Fuck that
fuck
place.
Fuck that place.
and a lot of people we all know would say the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
But me and Matt worked... he worked there, what, 7-8 years before I started
working?
You're
talking about the place that you work
now? The
place
I work now.
Yeah, a long
and
time.
This is a telemarketing firm.
Yeah, it's a telemarketing gig. I've kind of explained it here and there on the podcast before, but I don't want to give out too many details.
Yeah.
Just because my job pays me pretty well to do what I do.
Yeah, man.
So, but yeah, me and Matt worked the same place. We worked for different managers, but we worked with some of the same people.
Yeah.
And that job for you... sucked.
Oh man, it was so bad, and it was so funny because I was so good at it.
Mm-hmm. You are. You're a natural salesman.
Thanks, man.
I mean, you and me both are like just know how to talk to people.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, I found out what I'm good at, and it's like the least thing I care it's about. Not what being I want to do. At. Like I don't give a fuck, man. Like, yeah. So, but I mean that. Yeah, man. Talk about a shitty boss. I mean, he doesn't work there anymore.
No, right.
But that,
and I never met the dude that that you know.
It was seriously like, you know, like fucking boiler room. Like, yeah. It was crazy. Like, getting pulled into his office meant that you were gonna be called a faggot. Like, you were gonna, you know, be just chewed up and spit out back onto a phone with hillbillies who don't want to give you a cent.
Right, and like, that's the thing with like me, like, I dude, if my boss that I worked for doing what you did, calling people at home, like, if he would ever pulled me and, like, said that shit to me, I'd have been like, later, motherfucker, yeah. Like, you... And you worked there, what, like a year, less than?
Yeah, I would say about 8 or 9 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
It really seems like you have a problem with motivational homophobia.
Yeah. Doesn't bode well with
me. Can that be the name of your next record?
Motivational homophobia.
Yeah. No, it's really weird. I've had lots of like insanely comedically homophobic bosses where it's just like, I can't believe you just said that. Like, oh my God.
Dude, if you hung out at Dag House, you would be thrown out.
Yeah.
very peacefully.
Have you went to a donation-based show?
It's only fags. You're welcome, Jeremy. This is the first time I've ever said that on this podcast.
Oh, my.
See what we were doing, though? That people, that's called comedy.
Yeah.
It's called a joke.
Yeah, yeah, I've had a lot
like,
of
can you give like can that. You give a little insight into, like, let's talk about that specific boss for a second. Mm-hmm. And this is more out of, like, I'm curious as to the guy that I worked for that came before him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll just call him Z.
Yeah, that works.
He was the boss, and the best story I have about him.
How old was he?
When I worked there?
All right, you and me are the same age, about 30. Yeah. You worked there, like, what, 7, 8? Years
a while ago. Let's yeah, see, almost 9 years ago.
Yeah, all right, so almost nine years ago, so you were 21.
Yeah, yep.
How old was he, would you say, at that time?
35, 40.
Okay, so he's a little, okay. Yeah. All right.
So he's grown into his homophobia.
Oh, yeah. That's deep-seated.
He was that old, made about 5 times as much money as all of us, lived at home with his dad, and just got belligerently drunk and coked out. Supposedly, you know, after work every night with his dad. So, like,
oh,
that's,
man. Yeah. No wonder he was calling you a faggot.
It's you who are the faggot.
Yeah. And I only sucked his dick like 5 or 10 times.
And that was just to keep my job.
Yeah. It was rough.
That's got to be rough, especially if he's doing coke.
He won't get hard.
He's
like, I'm like, this sucks. He's like, I know, right?
One of the ways that helped me get through that job was just getting blazed on lunch every day. Yeah. I lived pretty much across the street.
I mean, they were paying, like, when I first started, like, doing what you did, because I moved up, you know, I stuck it out and did what I did.
I made about $400 a week.
Okay, so you're making $10 an hour.
Yeah.
All right, right on.
Yeah.
And, like, you could hit pay scales and shit, too.
Exactly,
yeah,
and
then
returns.
And you're good enough to have done that. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, like, I had enough money to get by or whatever, and that helped, but, yeah, dude, I mean, I would get retarded high on break, and, I came back one day, and I sat down. He was standing right next to me, and this girl, she baked cupcakes for everybody there, like, just to be nice, and... Mm-hmm. He looked down at this cupcake and he was like, oh, that looks good. And yeah, and he picked it up and he was just like sick. And he like whipped it against the wall and was like, you know what that is? That's throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, you guys are sounding like a bunch of faggots. And like, you know, he went off. And like, the best part about it was like 3 people quit immediately because they're like, oh my God, like this is, you know, I'm not going to be called that like over and over and mm-hmm. over again. And
this was on lunch, right?
This was right when we got back from lunch.
Oh, okay.
We just weren't hitting numbers. And, I looked over and the girl who like baked the cupcakes was just like, oh man. Like, you know, like he didn't even eat one. He just threw it against the wall.
Don't prove a point with my food.
Yeah. Lame.
Second of all.
Yeah, it blew my mind.
If you're selling like a bunch of faggots, you would be doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no idea where he's coming from.
Especially from the homophobic brain, because like they've got to trick people into sex.
Because nobody's really gay.
Yeah.
It's all a trick. Jeez. You gotta get your shit straight.
Have you guys had any like epically like shitty bosses?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say my first, like the one that I can remember first and foremost was when I worked at Lowe's. I mean, this was 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 fucking years ago.
I love the way that place smells.
Yeah. Like wood and sadness. Mm-hmm. And no, but I worked a certain, like, there's the peon people that, like, customer service reps.
My little brother used to work at Lowe's.
And so, and then you have, like, sales specialists who, like, stand at the desk and fucking try to help you with remodels and shit in each specific department. So I did, like, bathroom remodels, you know? And there was a guy who was a zone manager, because in those department kind of stores, they break the store up into zones.
Bone zone?
He was zone one manager. Well, I worked in zone one. But my manager was the sales manager. It's two completely different things. And that dude just, like, tried to tell me what to do all the time. And I was, what, 18, 19 at the time? Fuck you, dude. I know who my boss is. I'm not, and he
You're not my supervisor.
No, exactly. You're not my real dad. No, that's exactly. That was Cartman, like, without a doubt. And, but, like, at the same time, that dude was a fucking asshole. And the way I quit that job was I was a sales specialist in the plumbing department. I couldn't take his bullshit anymore. And so I was like, you guys need to move me elsewhere into a different zone, because I can't do this anymore if you're going to keep this guy here. So they moved me into the paint department, which was in zone two. I wasn't a sales specialist anymore. I took a really big pay cut. But, as, you know, when you're 18, you're 19, you're dumb.
Yeah.
And so I was I worked there in the paint department, I think, for maybe 3 weeks, until the one day the assistant manager, who loved me, comes up to me. He goes, hey, by the way, I needed to tell you that we're putting Keith back in zone two. He's going to be the zone two manager. And I was a peon now at this point, so he would have been my manager.
Oh, no.
I took off my Lowe's vest, handed it to him in the middle of my shift, and was like, later.
Later.
And, yeah, you know, like, that's my first. I've had other ones as well, but.
That was your first.
Yeah.
How much paint did you huff?
It's house paint. You can't fucking huff that shit.
Look, there's
thinner is a different. I was also buying painkillers from the guy who worked in the electrical department.
Stephen King's thinner?
What?
Isn't that a Stephen King's movie?
Yes.
Stephen
King's movie? Oh, thinner. Yes. 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 Yeah, with the gypsy lady.
Just huffing VHSs of thinner in the back room. Get back on the floor.
I don't know what this does, but it's awesome. This movie's great.
Worst boss I ever had was
at Walmart?
It was not at Walmart. I never worked at Walmart.
I thought you said you did.
I worked at Kmart.
In San Francisco?
No. In San Francisco, this is actually where my worst boss was. It was in Dublin, California, which is a bedroom community for San Francisco. Kind of halfway in between San Francisco and Silicon Valley. And I worked at a movie theater there. And the wonderful thing about California is because of the high cost of living, what was a $6 an hour job in Ohio was a $9 an hour job in California. And considering that I wasn't paying rent, it was marvelous.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem that I had there was a large management staff. And because it's a movie theater, it was...
Was he fat?
There was only one fat manager, and his name was Sanchez.
Dude, it sucks more when they're fat.
I'm just putting it. Have you watched F for Family with Bill Burr?
Yes.
Okay, I just imagine his boss. You know, like
yeah,
the guy who's just like, I'm not a stander.
No, not he Love wasn't that fat. This is California fat.
Okay,
it's a whole different like.
So like thinner than me.
Probably about your size.
So he is really fat in California.
You're definitely California fat.
California pig.
I had just gone on a 500 calorie a day diet when I went out there. So I was pretty thin.
It's felt.
And, the biggest problem that I had at that place was the fact that there were so many managers and there was a constant interaction with the employees and, they just didn't get the proper training about how to treat the ladies. And so there was a lot of...
In California?
Yeah.
Wow.
You would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's very progressive.
But, you know, you've got these guys in their early 20s that are picking up these teenage girls. And it was the fucking worst.
Scum.
Yeah, especially because, you know, I would...
you know, a couple of these because, you know, I was a friendly boy. Not that friendly. You know, just friendly enough that, you know, we'd strike up a conversation and, you know, I would basically deal with the fallout from that while nothing got done.
Which is pretty much what you've done the rest of your entire fucking life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cleveland Comedy.
Yeah. Thanks, Cleveland Comedy. You guys are all cunts. Seriously, yeah. I'm waiting for you all to have children, and then you're going to die in a fire.
See, I thought you were going to say, I'm waiting for you all to have children and quit comedy.
No.
That it's all mine.
No. I'm waiting for them. Waiting for them to have children, then I'm going to burn their house down, and they can watch their children die, and then pass out from smoke inhalation. That is the plan.
You've been warned.
Very angry.
Hey, this is just pre what we're talking about with this Patreon shit. This is just pushing the envelope. Wait till we start saying names, people. Then you're going to want to pay us $20 a month not say your fucking name.
$20 a month, and we won't say your name. Make an anonymous account. Message me if you're too much of a chicken shit to say. I don't want Sheer putting my name out there, so...
I thought Patreon was like what like Suicide Girls sell like fingering videos on and stuff.
I think they do.
They do. Okay. Yeah, they do. That is, if you would like the good stuff, where the spread shots, because there are no spread shots on Suicide Girls. Why do I know that? Because I got asked to do a bio for a couple of them.
Because he signed up for a free trial.
No, I got...
And said, this isn't for me. Cancel.
There's a pledge process or something like a potential suicide girl. Mm-hmm. And then I got one of those accounts to go fuck around on the site because she wanted me to write her bio. Hmm. And so I got to look around.
Yes, he writes a lot of bios.
Yeah.
Like for comedians and like all kinds of people.
Really?
Because he's good at it. It's like, what, two paragraphs or a paragraph?
Three paragraphs and a three sentence. Three sentences basically for, you know, a quick glance through a program or something like that. And then like the full three paragraph thing is for your website. That's $20.
And Jeremy's his own boss when he does that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he doesn't, he likes that.
So that's the worst boss you've had.
Yeah. I'm definitely, I'm not very good at time management or, you know, employee morale. Employee morale is probably the biggest problem I've got.
All
right. If you considered me an employee right now, employee morale would be great. You'd be like, I am a great boss.
Sean's our boss.
Sean is our boss. Well, he's big. He's big. He's eating crab. Mm-hmm. You're eating imitation crab.
Yeah.
I'm eating lunch meat.
Crab with a K.
I like all that shit. Especially lunch meat.
It's all good.
Yeah.
All right. So Silicon Valley, shitty boss. They were shitty to girls, you said?
Yeah, they were shitty to girls. And they, you know, a couple of them... were kind of okay with the attention, and it was fine, but it always ended up blowing up in their faces. And it also, like, that, it was a result of just too much interaction between, basically, you can't fraternize that much with management and employees, and especially when they're that young, and expect things to go smoothly. And the other problem with that is, like, this was at a time when... managers were doing all the projector work, so you had like a large staff of people that are getting paid way too much money to run a projector, even though they weren't union. So, and that was all they did, but they still would interact with the hourlies. So it was a giant mess there.
Oversaturation of management is a huge problem. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's why I wanted to turn the question around on you. You said, you know, what are the, like, give us some, like, what are some of your worst ones?
Man. Well, almost every job I've had shitty management at almost. And my thing is like,
Matt, that has nothing to do with you being a shitty employee. No. How matter of factly you're like, no.
I'm awesome.
So am I, right?
I'm only usually like 15, 20 minutes late every day.
Yeah.
I had to get that joke in there.
No, recently, okay, so I've been my job is delivering windshields. Like,
right.
It's
rad because you like driving around.
Yeah, and I'm by myself. I just listen to podcasts.
Your one arm is really fucking tan.
Yeah, dude, it's fucked up.
His one arm isn't blackface.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you had to put the lipstick on too. You do you, buddy.
We play some Scott Joplin tunes here soon. Recently I worked at a gas station though, and those jobs always suck.
Yeah.
And it was like family owned, and it was like the dad and his two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And we never said anything about a dress code at all. Like, you just had to wear your shirt, you know, right? Like your Sunoco shirt.
Okay.
And one day I showed up in a pair of shorts because it was like 105 degrees outside. Like,
right.
It was insane.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. And as soon as I clocked in, they came around the corner and they're like, "What the fuck is that?" And I was like, "What?" And they're like, "You can't wear shorts." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And it was like this whole thing, and they wanted me to go home and change.
Oof.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, like, I just don't get it. Like, I never signed anything. I wasn't trying to make a big deal of it, but at the same time, I was like, dude, it's really hot. And
yeah,
they kept the AC at like 80 degrees.
That's
so like pretty much not on.
Right.
And
it just gets rid of the humidity and that's it.
Yeah. So, and like, dude, I'm a big guy. I sweat.
Yeah.
So, and they were like, you know, I went out of the way and I bought like shorts that like matched my uniform and everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I ended up, that was like a speed bump job as it was, but that really expedited the process of me finding something else. And my next job was a different screen printing place than Jack Prince 717. And everything was going fine there. And the day that I was thrown on a press to screen print, we got a new boss in from California who was unwilling to train me.
Ooh.
And told me that if I wanted, I shouldn't have signed the paper to be a screen printer unless I knew how to do it. Even though a part of me signing that paperwork was that you were going
to, I'm going to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
So he just came in completely ill-informed. And
which you had previous experience in the business.
And I was doing pretty good at it, but like you have to hit hours there. And right. Like they're very unrealistic.
Yeah.
And
well, they always want to push it to the absolute maximum. That's the problem with management is they want to make you sweat your job.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you're paying me $10.50 an hour. Like, I don't, like, it's not.
Dude, I was doing, I mean, you know the story, like me doing dye sublimation at fucking Jack Prince.
Yeah.
I was
Prince,
making.
Jack Prince is so fucked up, dude.
I was making them money hand over fucking fist and getting paid $9.50 an hour to do it.
Those dye sub guys get the shit kicked out of them for nothing.
Yeah.
Upstairs where I worked, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad because, like, on night shift, we pretty much just, like, printed 50 shirts and smoked weed.
But dude, do you remember when I interviewed at 717 and you texted me, it was what, a week later?
Yeah, they did.
And why they didn't hire me, and they said I was too cocky in my interview.
Yeah, they said that he was too full of himself.
And I was like, is being good at what I do cocky?
Like, just, that's how that place is. They want you to be like a sheepish, like, little bitch.
I'm not gonna ever be that.
Well, you're not gonna fit into the management style there then.
Yeah, no, like, and it really sucked. And yeah, that guy, he was an asshole. And like, have you ever worked somewhere where you and a manager don't get along, you hate each other, but everybody else is cool with the manager, and you look like you're kind of being like whiny or like, you know, like a bad employee, but you're like, no, like, this guy really doesn't like me.
When I was younger, like at Lowe's and shit, I did.
And that's
deal
how
with
it was at 717. Like, Adam and this guy, Steve, they got along so well. And I was like, man, one of my best friends who I work with, like, gets along with his manager so well. And, like, I get the shit kicked out of me every day by him. And, like, he couldn't relate at all. And, like, I was, like, alone in it. And, like, dude, that job drove me crazy. And one day I misprinted, like, $1,500 worth of, like, college shirts, and he pretty much was just like, bye, and I was like, later. And it was Adam's last day because he was quitting.
Yeah.
So, like, it was both of our last days.
Well, dude, I remember, like, when I worked at Jack Prince, and, like, I don't care. Like, I worked for a guy named Mike. I don't need to put his last name out there. Yeah. But, like, he's a fucking cunt. And
big time.
His name is Mike Hunt.
He, you know, like, dude, I was promised a bunch of shit. Because I work, like, I've had a bunch of jobs. You've had a bunch of jobs. Like, with me, dude, if I go into a job, I go in full-fledged.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to bust my fucking ass for you. I'm going to learn everything I can and be the best guy I can be.
The better you are at your job, the easier it is, actually.
Right.
Yes.
Well, yes and no. Yeah. Because, like, in the food service industry, which within the next month or two, that's going to come up on this podcast. That's a little preface for people.
Yeah, that's my
side. But, like, in the food industry, what sucks about it is, like, you get hired at an entry-level thing. Hey, we'll teach you like, let's just say a mid-level place.
Yeah.
Like, not Applebee's, but above that. Like, mid-level place, they're like, all right, we're going to pay you this much, and, you know, just work really hard for us, and you'll be rewarded. That never happens. It never fucking happens in kitchens. But, like,
no.
at Jack Prince, like, I was like, I had previous printing experience. Granted, it was screen printing,
yeah.
But like, I'm not an idiot. I know how all this shit works.
And why they didn't just throw you up into screen printing.
Right.
You know?
None of it made sense. I got hired during the holiday season. It was, you know, I was packaging shit at first. They saw that I worked hard, so they gave me a job and doing dye sublimation. So it was like, all right, cool. And they're like, well, we're going to pay you $9.50 an hour. 3 months from now, we'll give you either a $1 or $2 bump because, you know, just to see how you're doing. And a week before I was supposed to get my raise, they came to me and they're like, hey, there's this company, Mishka, which is a really big fucking clothing company.
I put in shirts when I worked there.
Right. And they're like, you know, so this job can't get fucked up. And I was like, it was apparel I had never worked with. It was a big job. I had only been there about 3 or 4 months. And I was like, I straight up told two of my supervisors, Mike and then this dude, Joe, who I left. I'll tell the story, but I ended up leaving Joe high and dry, which I felt bad about. But I had to do what was best for me. I told them, I was like, I'm not comfortable doing this because it's high end, high price fucking stuff. I'm not comfortable. Well, I think it was 300 prints, something like that. And I ended up fucking up like 80 of them.
Yeah.
And so I was like, right. And I told them, then they were like, no, you'll be fine. Just do it. And so I figured, all right, well, if I fuck it up, they can't really be mad at me. Because I said like...
Oh, are you wrong?
Yeah. No shit. So I fuck a bunch of it up. They immediately take my raise away. They were telling me that they were going to give me management on second shift. They took all that away and they're like, oh, you're not getting a raise. So like leading up to that, like 4 weeks leading up to that and after that, which was about 2 weeks until I quit, I would dry heave as I was walking into work. Like that's how much pressure that job put on me.
It sucks when it's like that.
And like, why should anybody have to work like, especially for $9.50 an hour? So I was just like, all right. One day I finally was like, I'm done. I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'll work my whole shift and then I'm fucking done. So I'm cleaning up my stuff at like 11:30 is whenever we were getting off. And my supervisor, Joe, not Mike, the cunt, it was not Mike cunt. it was Joe. And he walks in and he's like, what are you?
Joe's a cool dude.
Yeah, I like Joe. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm cleaning up. I'm ready to go home. And he's like, oh, you got to do these one-offs. And I was like,
No, I
did the one-offs for today. He's like, oh, you got to do the one-offs for tomorrow. It was on your job sheet. And I was like, my job sheet's right here. It's not on there. And he's like, oh, well, Mike told me you had to do them. And I was like, but I'm not. And he was like, oh, I got to call Mike. I'm like, all right, cool. Well, this makes it a lot easier. When you're going to call Mike in his office, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I feel shitty. I mean, I felt shitty for doing that to Joe. But at the same time, I was like, you're paying me $9.50 an hour.
And that's the thing. You have no obligation to companies at all. Like, they don't have any obligation to you either. No,
just
which
paycheck.
Is why,
just a paycheck.
And
this is the glory of living in an at-will state.
Yeah, and I hate that about Ohio. I mean, it's fucked up. You can be cut for any reason, any time, from any job. And that's one thing that sucks about my job. You know, like, I could just be fired at any time.
But you've been there for a hot minute.
Yeah, and, like, it's not going to happen, but it can. But also, I can quit for any reason, any time. Mm-hmm. But the amount of people who are willing to deal with horseshit.
Yeah.
Day in, day out, for $9.50 an hour, who look down on people like you and I for quitting and going somewhere else is astounding. And
let's put it this
fucking
way.
Do something.
Do you know what happened a few days before I quit? Because I was dye sublimation. Some people understand what that is. It's full color print when you see something on a shirt. That's the entire shirt. That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's called DTG, direct to garment. They also had screen printing machines that
were DTG.
Where it's like you get a screen printed shirt, but they can print one shirt at a time.
It's like if they put a shirt into an actual printer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So so those guys, we all had a meeting one day. They said we were taking too many bathroom breaks.
Oh, really?
And so we're sitting there in a meeting. It was like, I'm not a bathroom break guy. Like, I don't get off on, like, I'm going to go take a shit for 20 minutes. This is not my thing. But I mean, I'll do it at home. But my whole thing with that was my one friend, I'll call him Greg because it rhymes with his real name. And he was like, well, hey, I have a bladder problem, you know, holding it, like, I gotta go. And what Mike said to him was, well, my dog holds it for 10 hours when I'm at work. Why can't you?
Oh.
And you can't legally say that to somebody if you're a boss, right?
You can legally say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, coming from, like, a lawyer's son, like, can you say that to somebody and not have repercussions?
You can say it. It's just a matter of how do you have balls bigger than that man's dog? If you don't, you're going to take it.
Yep.
Like a neutered dog.
And that's why bad management sucks, is because most of the time you can't do anything about it.
Right.
So, like, you come from a place of, like, just stress and helplessness. Like,
it's how important is that money worth to you, you know?
And the older you get, the more important it is.
Yeah, but it's like, as you get older, too, it's like your incline goes, it's like, well, I need to be making this much if I'm going to put up with this much bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think the only time I've been in a situation where other people have liked a boss and I haven't was because the boss had Jeff Dunham magnets on her, her cubicle.
Fuck her.
So
yeah, fuck her.
I hated her.
Yeah.
You don't know comedy.
Also, she got to wear her New Balance shoes into work all day because she was fat.
Jeremy's like, I'm fat too. Yeah, and I don't get to wear mine.
Yeah, I wanted to wear my New Balance shoes into work every day.
I'm sore everywhere. Like, let me wear something that feels nice.
Yeah, I'm working a goddamn office. What does it matter what shoes I'm wearing? Dude,
go ahead.
Yeah, but that's just what it is. Calling back to an earlier story about shorts, though.
Ah.
Generally, shorts are frowned upon in almost every profession.
Isn't that weird?
It is. I think part of it is because they think if your ankles are covered, you will not get hurt. But I worked at an ambulance billing company in Akron, and, you know, it was an older building, so the air conditioning was not amazing. And we were not allowed to wear shorts. It was strictly verboten from the dress code.
It was an ambulance company, right?
Yeah, it was.
That I can kind of understand.
Well, we weren't paramedics.
I get that.
We transported people from hospital to hospital and stuff like that.
Well, I mean,
you were a dispatcher, weren't you?
No, I was a biller.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what the fuck?
I worked in the billing office. The company itself did emergency transports and hospital to hospital and physician.
But that didn't pertain to you because you're just billing people for
it. Yeah, I'm just billing people. Yeah. But women were allowed to wear skirts. So I went to human resources and said, you know what? I'm wearing a kilt. Try and stop me. So I started wearing a kilt to work.
Where do you get a kilt?
I wore a... you get online, you can find anything.
Yeah.
This particular garment was a Father's Day gift when we went to the Irish Festival in Cuyahoga Falls. The Utilikilt people were there. And it's a kilt, solid color. Tartans were available, but I liked the black.
Of course, naturally.
It looked like what Perry Saturn wore.
Right, or Raven. Oh, or Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what about
me?
What about Sheer?
Wait, does that make me Lodi?
Yes.
Oh, no! Ooh. I don't have blonde hair. I have no hair.
There's a picture of you holding a sign on Facebook. Like,
there
you're
is.
Stuck, buddy.
I know.
Basically, you and Zach are going to be Lenny and Lodi, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
I think me and Zach could come to terms with that.
Yeah, the West Cleveland Blondes.
Yes.
There you go. You're way better than Billy and Chuck.
You know what's funny is awesome is about six people are going to get that joke, and I'm stoked for it. And we laugh so
it's
hard.
About how many people probably will listen anyways.
Oh, no. It'll be more than that. I can promise you that.
I'm just joking because I hate you.
Oh, no, that's okay. Oh, you're going to try and pull that on me.
Yeah.
Okay. I see how it goes.
There's a lot of hate here.
I invite my friend on. Oh, wait, now I'm starting to realize
I
how George
myself.
Felt.
Tis what it is. So what you've been at your current job for a little over a year, you said. What about his management style is drastically different from what you're used to?
First of all, like if something doesn't make sense at our job, I can go up to him and be like, hey, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why are we doing it this way? And he'll be like, oh, you're right.
Like, why am I driving from Wycliffe to Cuyahoga Falls? I'm trying to reference it in the right.
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this?
Or just, why are we, you know, like, why is this person working on this when both of us could be doing this? Or, like, he's very open to suggestions if he's in the right mood.
Right.
And, like, his moodiness is something I've just come to accept because most of the time I can approach him about almost anything.
Yeah.
Also, like, there's no dress code. I can wear whatever I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no, like, don't say this. Like, you could talk like we're talking right now. Like, he doesn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, and 6 out of the 8 hours I'm there, I'm by myself.
Oh, well, that so you have less direct supervision.
Almost none. I mean, he'll call me.
You have somebody to answer to, but as long as you do your job, you're not a problem.
And that's all I've ever wanted. Like, just let me do my fucking job, dude. Yeah. Like, all this arbitrary bullshit.
Yeah, dude.
Because it's because I don't work for a Fortune 500 company or a movie theater in California.
No, I mean, dude, like, for example, I mean, like, that brings up another point is, like, say I've been working at, and this happened at a place you just got recently. Like, it's another job that we both have had.
Yeah.
It's a pizza place. I'll just say that.
I have a story about a boss there too.
And it's like, my whole thing was like, all right, so I had been there a year, just about a year. And this, you know, man, this place is exchange managers. Like, it's nobody's fucking business.
Yeah.
It's the food industry. And I'm a delivery driver, dude. Yeah. So I'm like, I have to help out. I understand that's part of my job. We're like, no problem. I will do it.
Yeah.
But my whole point is, if I know how to do my job, do not fucking tell me how to do my job.
Yeah, most of the time.
Especially at a pizza place.
Yeah, that's people letting off steam on someone who doesn't deserve it. Like, when that kind of situation happens, I think.
Like, that's a big part. Especially at a pizza place. Like, I'm getting paid however much it is to drive an hour. Plus tips, which is great. Like, I'm probably making more money than the managers sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's like, at the same time, like, all right, so if I know how to do my job's not hard, and I'm not going to fuck you over, I'm not going to be a shitty employee, don't tell me how to do my fucking job.
Yeah.
And
you would think that's not a lot to ask for.
No, and like going back to like the shorts thing, like, all right, you know where I work. You've been to where I work.
Yeah.
You worked where I work. Like, why is there a dress code sometimes? I'm like, dude, I call people all day. None of my customers ever see me.
Well, what's weird about where you work is like when you get to the level that you're at, there's a pretty strict, when I worked there, a pretty strict dress code, like dressing up.
Yeah.
But in the same room.
Yeah.
10 feet from you are people wearing like whatever they want.
Yeah.
And it's like,
how we're dressed right now.
Yeah. It's weird.
Like, my whole thing is, why does it fucking matter?
Dress for success is probably where they're coming from, you know, like smile.
But if I can do my job dressed like a shitbag.
Just let me. Yeah.
I mean, we've addressed this in a previous podcast. It's a control issue.
It is.
They're trying to manage all the variables they can. And so this is something that they can manage. It's like, you have to wear this, that therefore nobody's going to get pissy about somebody's offensive dress because it's spelled out, this is what you're wearing, so we're not going to have to deal with any of that horseshit.
But why does it have to be, like, super dressy? Like, I don't, like, if you just told me, like, hey, you're allowed to wear jeans and, you're not allowed to have art on your shirt.
Yeah,
I'd be like, fine.
Culture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dude.
But you know what's crazy is how many
collared shirt?
How many people don't ever question any of that kind of shit and are just like, whatever, and that's why we do comedy. I mean,
right.
Or at least try
to. No, I mean, me and Sheer have said this before multiple times. We're not going to play by the rules. Like, I'm going to try and break every fucking rule I can.
Yeah.
If you're going to put them in front of me, I'm going to figure out how I can break it and not have repercussions from
it. And that's just a part of, like, our personalities. Yeah.
I wear shorts and a hat on stage. Go fuck yourself.
And you also take pictures of people's ankles.
I do. It's ankle. Well, I haven't done it in a minute, but.
No, it's been.
It's
pretty funny.
Yeah. Ankles of comedy is what he called it.
It is ankle season.
It's ankle season. You're like a fucking Jewish Elmer Fudd, dude. It's ankle season.
That way, the quiet. I'm hunting ankles.
That's fucked up.
Hey, look, I'm just trying to showcase the fact that many people do not give a fuck about wearing shorts on stage. And then my favorite part is when people get mad at me when they get caught. It's like, oh. How dare you put me on blast for wearing shorts on stage?
Are there any clubs that, like, have ever told you don't wear anything specific.
Hilarities won't let you, right?
Hilarities is a
fucking joke.
Yeah, but I saw Bill Burr there.
So. Yeah.
Hilarities has a dress code. Improv pretty much has a dress code. I mean, it's basically like if you're working at a club, you can't go in there dressed how I am now.
Really?
Because, well, look.
Judah Friedlander.
Yeah. Judah Friedlander is known for wearing what he wears.
Yeah.
You are, when you're at the level that you're at,
mm-hmm.
you're the first thing the audience sees when you go on stage, and if you look like a schlub, nobody's going to take you seriously.
That's actually a very good point.
It is, yeah. But that's also bullshit. Like, I mean, we live in a world now where everybody's a special snowflake, so, like, why is there rules in a comedy club? Of all places, why are there rules
Again,
there?
Control.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's just, this is a variable we can't control.
And
this is a process that has been going on for many, many years.
Yeah.
We know what works. You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but
Hilarities is ran by an old school mother.
So say what you just said to me, like kind of off mic.
Oh, I worked
Jeremy.
I worked at Hilarities. And I got, speaking of shitty bosses, the guy whose daughter owns it, she runs like most of like the regular employees.
Okay.
And my job was just, you know, front booth tickets and stuff like that. But I come from a food industry background, and right across from where we would answer phones and stuff was the kitchen.
Right.
And they were getting their AC worked on. A lot of my problems come from just being hot.
You and me both,
yeah,
dude.
Under tit sweat equals problems.
Yeah, dude. I can't give away free tickets to, you know, Sebastian Maniscalco.
If I'm sweating, I'm going to be bitching.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to be bitching regardless.
Happy Cole can go fuck himself.
But on a break after I got back inside from smoking a cigarette, I went to the cooler in the kitchen and just like sat down in there for like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I was cool with the guys who ran the kitchen.
Right.
And that's where they stocked the beer.
Right.
And even though they offered me alcohol on multiple occasions and I always refused it because I just don't really...
You don't really drink all
I'm not
that
like
much.
A big drinker.
No.
I'm a pothead. And they never offered me that.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
Who's going to get the fucking box office guy high?
Who's going to hot box the office guy?
That's not a thing.
I got called in to the office the next day, and they were like, what were you doing in the cooler? And I was like, I was cooling off, man. Like, it was hot as balls. And they told me they had trust issues with me because it seemed like I would only go in there to steal beer. And I was like, why would I steal beer?
I don't even drink.
I've
known Matt for, God, fucking 8 or 9 years at this point. He fucking pukes when he drinks beer. If he like pushes a 6-beer minimum, like he'll
throw up.
I've watched him drink 12 beers, but I knew after 6 that he's gonna puke at some point.
And like, I'm a fun drunk. I like getting drunk.
You are? Oh, absolutely. Dude, we've had many a time.
Yeah, but I always get sick, and I just, yeah, I'm not, you know, so like for them to, you know, and it was just really fucked up. Like, she was really mean about it, and she accused me of stealing, and I was like, you have cameras everywhere. Just watch them. And she was too lazy to, like, look into it. She was just like, man, I told myself that you stole, so you did. Bye.
Oh, dude, when I got fired from the rally, like, I mean, I think I've said this before. I was stealing from there.
Yeah.
But there's no proof of it. I'm too smart for that shit, dude. Like,
well, now there is, dummy.
Well, I'm not, it doesn't matter. Dude, that dude don't own the bar anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I was like, dude, there was no fucking... And that's what I told him. I was like, if you think I'm stealing, just, you have cameras there. Watch.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, there was no cameras in the kitchen. So if I was going to steal food... My bag was already in the kitchen from when I walked in, and I just stuffed it all there, and I put it on the fucking fence.
Why were you stealing food from the rally?
I was making... It was right after I broke my arm.
Okay.
So I was making... I mean, I was making, what, maybe $6-7 an hour cash there, which is fine. Like, whatever, you know, cool. And then he gave me bartending shifts, but, like, the only way I could survive and pay rent was to steal food so I could eat.
From...
And so it was like, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not like,
no.
stealing is wrong.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes
stealing is funny.
No, it just makes for, I mean, it
does. I know, funny.
It makes it, I'm so committed to art that I stole to tell that story later.
Yeah.
But like, no, there was no photographic evidence of me ever stealing. He fired me on conjecture, Which is fine. I mean, he was right. I was stealing, yeah, but he had no proof of it.
Yeah.
Zero proof.
At Will State.
But I can't, I mean, you met, I won't say his name, but you met him how many times? I mean, the owner of that bar at the time.
Dude, I was drinking a lot. Like, yeah, I don't remember him at all.
He's a super tall guy. But, like, I mean, it's just
that guy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
I mean, and, like, he was not a shitty boss. He was...
Is that where you worked before you work right now? Was that your last job
before? Yes. There was a three-month gap, but yes. Yeah. Okay. It was the Rowley and then where I work now, which... I'm a model fucking employee there, dude. It's like, I am under pressure all the time. No, they don't put me under pressure. I put myself under pressure. Because, yeah. Like, dude, I like the money I make, so I don't want to fuck it up, you know? But,
you know, it's difficult when you're a self-motivated employee to deal with somebody that is micromanaging you. And if you can find a place that doesn't do that, then you're going to thrive. It's just what it is. But that's only for, I think, a lot of the reasons that style of management where you're micromanaging everything and it's this is the way it is because I told you so is because you know it's basic ass parenting.
Yeah
it's like because that's what your parents tell you, like, do it because I tell you.
Yeah, just like certain people should never have kids, lots of people should never be managers but are managers, like,
right?
Yeah. So
especially,
what do you think gets them to that point to where they're managers?
Well, most people just because they put the time in.
Time, yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And I think being awarded management based explicitly on seniority is like the worst thing you could ever do.
I think it works in some cases because
if that's the only, like, you've been
Right. You know? Like, oh, we got to give it to him. No, yes. I agree with you. It's like because it has to be there, like we talked about earlier. There's got to be a balance. Like, you got to know how to talk to people, and you also have to know how to lay down the law.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're too extreme on one end or the other, which the thing is like, the double on, or not double entendre, that's the wrong fucking thing to say, but the double-edged sword, the double-edged sword on that is, like, upper management, because, like, all right, we're going to put this guy in place, because he doesn't care what people think. He'll be a good manager because people are going to fear him.
Ugh.
And that is like, they want to put somebody in place like that because they're like, okay, well, it'll be, production will be as high as it can be because everybody fears for their jobs.
And at the end of the day, it's about the bottom line.
But if you have, everything's about money.
Yeah.
But if you have the other thing where it's like, oh, he's really good with people, he should be. Sometimes those people are too
they're
nice.
Pushovers. Yeah. They're like,
exactly. And you can't. Right. Yeah. No. And that's the thing is there's the two different aspects of it. And it's like, I've worked for very few people that fall in the middle.
No. And this is one of the first jobs where I do.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I used to not think that was the case, but lately it's been a lot better, you know, and it's why I've stuck around. But, I just started at that pizza place you worked at. And it's funny, like, the only reason I work there, because I work 7 days a week now, is because my friend is the manager on the weekends.
Oh, cool. All right.
Last weekend, she couldn't make it in, and this guy came in, and he was being a royal asshole right when I got there.
Can you tell me his name or no?
Yeah, his name's Ben.
Oh, I don't know him.
He's all actually my other friend's brother, and he knew me when I applied and all that. Like, so he kind of knows me.
Mm-hmm.
And like he was like, yeah, like right when I got there, he was like, just so you know, like, work Ben, first of all, talking about yourself in the first person. Like, or third person.
Third. He talked about himself in the third person.
Yeah, he goes, work Ben isn't the same as, you know, outside of work Ben. You know, like, I'm a dick at work. And I was like, okay, that's fucking lame. And I was like, dude, like, if you're going to tell yourself that you're going to be a dick from the moment you get to work, like, you're just going to bring everyone
down. You're not fit to be a manager.
And, like, later on that night, he actually did apologize to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, I haven't had to deal with a shitty manager for a while. This sucks. You know, but I mean, I only had to deal with him for that weekend.
Right.
Well, but that was fucked up.
We should point out that if you have to explain yourself with the words "I'm a dick," it's because you don't have any other excuse for your behavior.
Yeah,
I used to say that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to say that a lot.
It's a childish thing. You know, there has to be another reason behind it. It's not just like, I'm a dick, so I'm going to say what I want.
You're delusional, and you have unwillingness to work on yourself.
No,
you are a dick.
And top of that is like you, like for me, it was always like, oh, I'm a dick, and it makes me funny. And it's like, oh wait, and like ever, I would say probably since hanging out with you the last what 4 years that we've been friends, like it's more like, oh wait a second, I can't just say things because I think I'm in quotations a dick.
No,
like no, it's like he like Shear's one of the people that taught me like no. You can't just say things and throw it off in that. It's like, if it's funny, then it's funny. If it's not, don't say it.
It's just taking no responsibility for who you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's basically what it is. You're throwing things out into the world because you think that the narrative is that you're a devil-may-care ne'er-do-well that just says whatever is on his mind and is just being honest.
Right.
And...
Which I did. It doesn't work that way.
You know, no. Honesty and dickishness is not an excuse.
It's not synonymous.
No, they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive, and being honest isn't necessarily a good thing. Because your job when you are managing is to get the most out of your employees. And if you have to be 100% honest all the time because it's all you know how to do, you're not necessarily going to, especially if you've got self-motivated people that, you know, they require things to be explained to them and they...
real people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't smart just, people. You right. can't bark at them the reality of what's going on and then expect them to produce what you want them to produce.
Yeah.
So it's
also
frustrating.
You can't have Jeff Dunham fucking magnets. So. Fuck you. Fuck that.
You can't.
What a great joke. That was brilliant.
Yeah, you can't tell me what to do and have peanuts on your desk.
However, if you have a clip out of the Boondocks and you're telling me what to do, I'm like, all right, you're woke, fam.
Actually, this story doesn't even matter. Never mind. Boondocks. I was gonna go on a tangent.
If it's about Boondocks, I mean, I'll accept it.
I used to read that comic every day in study hall.
It's a great comic.
And one day it just didn't show up, and I like went out.
Aaron Magruder pissed somebody off.
Well, no, I emailed the plane dealer, and they gave me his email address, and I emailed him, and he said he was on like a sabbatical leave.
Oh, okay,
and that's how I learned what a sabbatical leave was.
Okay,
all right,
fuck that meant.
You know, Aaron Magruder's cool as fuck.
Yeah, he was prompt, and that made me a bigger fan of all that stuff overall.
In my opinion, like, he's like the smartest person since George Carlin and Richard Pryor died. Like, Aaron Magruder
That's a bold statement.
Aaron Magruder is, like, if you're a fan of Boondocks, we've never talked. Are you a fan of Boondocks?
I am.
Okay, all right. So, like, if you've ever watched that show, like, front to back, and not the last season, like, the first three seasons that Aaron Magruder was in charge of, like... That man had more important things to say than most politicians.
Oh yeah,
like
no, it was perfect. Those first three seasons, that's a perfect show. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, like, I want to work for Aaron Magruder.
Well, now that you've got his African sperm in your stomach. Hey guys, I can say that I'm just being a dick.
Yes.
Well, right. Matt, thank you so much for coming on the
absolutely.
Show.
Thank you, this has been great, dude.
Sorry, I feel like I said faggot like 37 times.
We both said, this is the first, I think this is the most the word faggot has ever been used on our podcast.
Well, so doing a lot for my reputation.
But we did it in a good way. Yeah. I think the real woke people will understand.
Yeah.
They'll understand.
Respond to motivational homophobia.
Yes.
No, I had a lot of fun. I really appreciate you.
No, absolutely, dude.
I've been wanting to do it for a long
once
time.
I've said this multiple times, but I don't think this will be the last time on this podcast because you hate a lot of shit.
I'm a hateful guy.
Yeah.
Right. Good. there are other hateful people that we have to thank. Shout out to Milky Way Recordings, Pete Milk, keeping the show sounding great. It's homie for homies here. We love it. Also, Sam Holmes, she did our logo. You can find her on the Instagrams. It's Sam Holmes, like you live in, not Holmes like you hang with. And also our sponsors. These people all sponsored the show by going to patreon.com/dirtyshear and giving us $30 a month. That is Chad Weaver, at Weaver Chad on the Twitters. Chris Clem, at Chris_Clem. there's some asshole.
That's my brother.
We love our brother, Chris Klemm. And, of course, Britt Fox, who was on episode 10, talking about smelly sex shops.
Who doesn't have a commercial yet.
I mean, it's in the can.
Oh, no, but there's, I mean, we're going to do some work for her. It's gonna end up being great. Yep. It's going to end up being great.
It's going to be good. You can find her on Snapchat at Fox Rocks. I don't know if it's at on Snapchat.
No, but she, dude, just go find Britt Fox and go follow her because, first and foremost, she's absolutely stunning as a person. And go listen to her episode because she's really funny, too.
Yeah, it's a great episode. Yeah, so, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates management as much as Matt Celeste.
Oh, no. No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling out my face.
This episode of Let the Hateful Through You is brought to you by Chad Weaver.
Chad Weaver oozes genius from every pore.
Every pore.
Every pore.
Every pore.
At Weaver Chad.
Retweet and like everything.
Retweet and like everything.
Only God can suck him.
That's Chad Weaver.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.